It's time for Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Anthony.
Hello.
Dwayne.
Hello.
And me, Brian. Is there any JoJo's news? Well, Daisuke Ono apparently has left his agency and gone independent, so that counts as JoJo's news and Osomatsu news.
Hey, and Seko Boys.
And Seko Boys news. Maybe he just figured, I'm in such demand. Let's go independent. They can't live without me. And also, Mr. Osomatsu sold, was it 79,000 DVDs in 4 days? Something like, some crazy number like that.
That's not like a record or anything, but that is good.
It is good, yeah. I think there was some sort of event ticket you got with it. So I think that was... There was a premium to getting it early. But it's still pretty crazy that people would want that premium so badly.
So, yeah, that is quite...
Right, let's get down to it. I've barely got a voice. I've got a sore throat. I'm running on lozenges. And I may blow my nose into the microphone at any point. So, let's start with Erased, Episode 5, Getaway.
Getaway.
Anthony, you like this episode? Explain what happened in it.
So, I should have had your cheat sheet for the names. The young girl. She is presumably dead in the past timeline. And he's obviously very sad. There's a lot of suspect going on. There's, you know, things on the news.
Like a week of days fairly quickly.
It's so depressing. It is sad. Because I genuinely felt like, oh, well, that's it then.
I was more depressed at the quality of the animation, to be honest.
Oh, it's more so when he goes back into the future.
There's a pretty bad scene early on when he's at home watching his mum talk to her old colleague. That entire sequence is...
What's the deal with that? Can he, like, hear them through the window from some distance away?
Is he the news... Is he a journalist?
Yes.
A journalist he's used involved. To work with or something.
He's got very his mother used. Very thin windows. In 1988.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's lots of stuff going on. There's the teachers in schools like covering it up. You know, it's a bit of a panic station, really.
It doesn't make it clear if they're covering it up because they're trying to keep the other kids calm and shit.
I don't mean necessarily covering it up, maybe
she's gone to her grandmother's and it's kind of like, is she really? Are you fucking trying to string this out?
But he does say to the main guy, the teacher does say like, oh, well, can you kind of keep this under wraps? I know you suspect something because, you know, we don't
want to. Yeah, yeah. But they don't come out and say it at any...
No.
They don't come out and say it straight away. Yeah.
Apparently in all the schools, they're told not to let the kids watch a certain news channel because that's...
Between the hours of such and such, yeah.
It's bonkers. It is literally bonkers.
Why can't you accept this?
I'm saying if this is a real thing which was happening in Japan in the 80s, I'm not saying it's bonkers in terms of a fiction.
Right, okay.
I'm saying it's bonkers as a behavior.
It's weird, right? You think you'd want to let kids fucking know of a serial kidnapper.
Like when I was
Japan's really weird with crime though, so I'm wondering if this was like an actual fucking thing they did at any stage.
Had Stranger Danger drilled into your heads when I was a kid. We should have had the dangers of 1970s celebrities drilled into our heads instead.
Oi, easy. But yeah, he's, then all of a sudden, I forget which trigger it is. I think he goes over to see, her parents, like her place, and the mother's taken out some mittens, in the trash, like a week after she was missing and so on. But yeah, he's now back to present day. And I was like, oh.
And he hops back and he's still on the run.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, do we have to go back? I was quite happy in the 80s, to be honest. I genuinely was.
I was as well. And I was definitely thinking, why do we have to go back by the end of the episode?
Because it
became the sort of show that I thought it was going to be and I didn't want to watch.
And what do you mean by that?
It felt like going back to 2006 felt like a, I don't know whether this is from the comic, but this is what it felt like to me.
Right.
So when the comic was running and becoming more popular, an editor said, can you think of something to make it, draw it out a bit longer?
Is that like a thing that happened or is that just a thing that happens?
It's a thing that happens.
Okay, I was wondering in the specific instance, did you know this? That's exactly what the
No, but this, it was kind of what the writing felt like. And then... It's the thing with the guy whose head we can't see and his voice obviously being done in a way that we can't recognize his voice from 19...
Who are you talking about here? Which
it was the guy talking to the pizza store manager... going.
Yes.
And that shot of the Last Supper just before the manager.
That was a bit on the fucking nose,
I see.
Because I was like, oh, you're Christian or something. Like, it was going to come up in like regular conversations, like shot of Last Supper. I was like, wait, what?
They should have just had a Sharpie ring round the head of Judas with arrows pointing into it just to kill all subtlety that we'd had up to this point. Apparently, I was reading... on Twitter, people were saying this was a outsourced episode. It wasn't like the regular team.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was definitely a downgrade in animation quality, but also I think the story went downhill. No, I'm not sure that had anything to do with.
I think it's been the weakest one so far, and I'd agree with you there. As long as it doesn't do this too much, I'll be fairly still on board with this show. I won't let one kind of slip up. And it's not even that much of a change. It's
no,
just,
it's not.
But I mean, like, after the pace of the last episode, it's going to fucking slow. But in this case, it kind of slowed to a crawl. They met in the 19, is it 70s or 80s?
It's 80s.
In the 1980s part there, that was going quite slow. So they actually had to go. And then a bunch of days passed and nothing really happened. And then he has to, when he hops back to the future, it's kind of like, it's, there's not really much tension in him running away from the police even, you know?
It should be, because that is
a present threat,
but I care more about the past at this point.
And also, I wasn't sure if it was the pacing of it or the tension in the last episode. It doesn't really compare, you know?
And unfortunately, him going to live under the bridge just made me think of Iyami.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well. I liked him going like, oh man, real original, staying under the bridge. I was like, oh, he watches Osamatsu-san as well. That's great.
So do you think it's going to take the... his co-worker being killed to send him back in time again.
Is this what you think is going to happen?
I think it has to be somebody killed in 2006 for him to then get sent back in time again.
It seems to be trauma
to prevent that one too.
Hits him back to the 1980s, yeah.
Well, I thought he was going to go back that far to prevent his mum being killed. So when he, by preventing her, what's her face being killed?
I think it's Io or Aya.
Kaio Hana's.
Yeah, I haven't written her name down in the notes.
We didn't think we were going to go back to 2000, so yeah. I guess you said the opening sequence, we should have figured that out.
Oh, Airy Katagiri is the one. Yeah, the pizza delivery girl.
Oh, yes. That's what, okay.
I think in order to save his mum, he's got to go back and save the little girl.
Yeah. Is he going to jump back to is he going to jump back to a timeline before the episodes or during the episodes we've already seen?
Or is he going to jump back to where he left? I think he's going to Groundhog Day. I think he's going to have to do it again.
Yeah, because I was wondering, was it setting it up like the best kind of term I kind of have is like a video game thing. It's like, oh, you fucked up that level. Try again. You know? So at the moment he has to be in the waiting period for the game to load.
But as I say, I suspect that in order to travel back again, because he's failed to save his mother. So therefore someone else has to die in his original timeline. And he has to then go killed by the same person and then has to go back again. And
like, I'm beginning to think as well that there is someone also with time jumping abilities, like changing it as well. You know what I mean?
See, I hope that doesn't.
I know that seems too on the freaking nose, right? That seems kind of like it'd be too.
I don't think so, because he's not in control of those powers. It's just when something happens, then the butterfly appears.
Yeah.
But yeah, the girl isn't a. I was scared at the end.
I thought for a second this episode wasn't going to end in a cliffhanger, and then it fucking does.
I wish she didn't. I'm assuming we'll say she's dead for this sake, but I wish she didn't die in a fire. I wish she was stabbed or something. Because I think it's far more kind of tense.
Weird thing to say.
No, I just think it's far more exciting to like see a murderer come. Well, she could get pulled out, but if you see like, if they showed the murderer come in, it'd be like, oh shit. Whereas a fire, as you say, she could be pulled out, she could be saved. Whereas there's a lot more threat involved with someone being there doing it.
If your man can like pull her out of the fire or something like that, it's a different threat than what we've seen before. Because what we've seen before is his mother is straight up fucking dead. And we don't want that again, because then you're just repeating the same kind of tension, emotional kind of breaks in it. And you don't want to do that. It's like, okay, we need different stakes this time in order for it to have its own tension, you know?
Mm.
So going back to the, 88 thing. Mm. So do you think the only thing he changed was who killed the girl?
Yeah, I was considering that as well, because the only thing he changed was the date, wasn't it? And
yes.
Then the serial kidnappings kept going on. And I was thinking that it's not only possible we have multiple suspects, but based on timeline changes that you are actually making different murderers in different alternate, outcomes, you know?
Yes. Because I think originally she was kidnapped as part of the thing, but this time we invented her being kidnapped. But then the mum ended up accidentally beating her to death.
Oh, you think that's what happened?
That's entirely possible. It might be something like that, or that might have been the case in the first place. And in his change timeline, she's actually been kidnapped. You know, we don't know what exactly change he made, because all we know is all he did was change the date. So I think in those things where you see people with red eyes, or you see there's a lot of people in the opening sequence with their eyes freaking crossed out. That they're not just like throwing us red herrings, they're throwing us alternate murderers depending on how shit goes.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to have been the one who have done it. I think it'll get the last episode. He's about to die and he thinks the only reason way I can save myself is by killing everybody else in the past. And then he has to go back and he's the murderer all along.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm in a daft mood. I still think people are whining on Twitter about this. Relax. There's been four really good episodes.
Yeah, but this was a pretty bad episode.
It was perfectly fine.
I would say it's probably the weakest one so far, but I still don't, like, it's not put me off the show at all.
I mean, it seems worse because of how good the previous four episodes is.
That's basically it. That. Yeah. No, I think
I would
have been
say
such
if the other four episodes were of this quality, I would not be watching this show.
Okay, that's fair.
Put it this way, if I had not have seen people complain on Twitter, I would not have, this wouldn't have stood out in such a way that it has done.
I just thought
thought about it too much.
As I say, I just thought the story took a turn which felt very much like drag a story out turns.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the slowdown of it, like I said, can just allow us to get to that reset a lot quicker. The new game plus or whatever, I don't freaking know. that'd be nice to see, because yeah, it really did slow down the kind of pace that it had built up to that stage.
I'm still on board and I still want to watch it as quickly as I possibly can.
That's fair.
Like, as soon as it comes out, I watch it. I am on the ball.
Okay, let's move on to Lovely Muko, episode 17, I think. The path of mastery is lined with thorns.
Mystery, isn't it?
I copied it straight off the...
Oh, I think you're, I think I've, oh, shown me holes in my Muko trivia. I think you're probably right. Okay.
Because it's mastery of the frisbee.
Uh-huh.
The flying disc.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a bit sense.
I've written some brief notes. This episode involves Uchiko bringing some more things for Muko to ignore. She likes the bag better than the things he brought, which are in the bag. Reader's there as well. But he's got... I've got a flying disc. We'll train Muko to catch this disc. And then he gets jealous of Muko again. He wants to catch the disc.
And he does.
Then he's bought a... some lovely Muko merchandise they can sell in the glass shop.
Well, he tells the audience, doesn't he?
Yes.
Like, he looks at the audience and says, if you buy, what kind of dog is it? Like a Shiba Inu dog or something?
Yes, Shiba Inu.
You buy these Shiba Inu dogs, you can sell them as Muko merchandise. Yes. Oh, now I remembered that little hoodie thing I bought. And yes. It's probably the exact situation.
And I can't remember exactly how it is, but I've just written down the line, Muko cannot become tiny. She gets very distraught that she's going to shrink down to the size of this toy.
Oh, well, I was under the impression she's worried Mini Muko is going to take over Komatsu. Well, win over Komatsu.
Yes, that as well.
Yeah, yeah. And she was jealous in that she doesn't have the power to shrink.
Yes, that was it. Mm. I was scanning back through trying to remember what the story was. I only saw that line.
The two main things I took from this episode were Ushigo needs to get his own fucking dog. And everyone treats Muko like shit.
Oh, they're awful with the treats.
Other people's dogs are much better than having one of your own.
Well, that's
you have to clean up his shit.
Bathroom. Yeah.
Whatever else.
But I had weirdly remembered things from the previous episode, like them putting the mask on her and throwing beans at her.
Oh, God, I forgot.
And them calculating her age in the dog years.
Yeah.
And deciding that she was the old lady of the house.
How could I forget that? Like, now that you say it, it's so clear, I can see it.
It took me 2 weeks to remember it after this, though.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, Komatsu gets some new t-shirts as well.
Yes, which are always shown very much to camera, so I assume these are always real t-shirts.
Hopefully.
That the real Ichiko is involved with.
Do we know what he does yet, besides, like, distribute free random t-shirts to his friends?
Yeah, I don't know. I assume he's either t-shirt printing or some sort of promoter.
A quick question. Is any of the characters we've seen so far like the manga author?
No. Not as far as I'm aware. Unless somebody's operating under a pseudonym.
See, I was wondering, was Ushigo the manga guy?
Oh, that'd be good.
Because we know your man runs a bar.
Yes.
I guess we don't know what Shinohara does, but we've barely seen her. And the guy is obviously a glassblower. So it's like, well, that's the only guy I don't know whose job it is.
Spoiler alert, she's Rina's teacher.
Oh, okay. It's a really small town.
Yes.
But what there? I thought this dog was real.
The dog's real, yes.
Yeah.
I thought it actually had an owner called Komatsu.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
So how does this teacher know so much about everyone's lives? This woman, how does she know?
No, I don't know who the... Who are you talking about? That's a fiction.
I thought you were talking about the manga artist.
Oh, no.
Like, how does she know about these?
I don't know what gender the manga artist is. We're talking about Shinohara-san, the lady in the cartoon.
Oh, because you said, when you said she's a teacher, I thought you meant the manga.
She's Rina's teacher, which hasn't
been okay. It's all
in the cartoon. Takeyuki Mizushina is the author of the comic.
Is there any photos of the author wearing like a shirt that says "Kill You" or something?
No, there's a picture of him. He's definitely not Uchiko.
Okay,
because the guy who is Uchiko looks like pretty much exactly like the cartoon.
I just noticed
in this episode as well.
Yeah, they've realized like, wait a minute, we have CGI guys. We can totally like do like a circular kind of pan around them. They suddenly realized what things they were using.
I was looking up the guy who directs it, and he did that CG tank police thing from a few years back.
Right.
Girls and Panzer? No.
No, Dominion Tank Police.
Oh, I thought you said a CG thing.
I did say CG tank police is what I said.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said CG tank thing.
Are there other tank police?
No. And what was that like, the CGI one?
I never saw it, because it was CGI. He was apparently the director of the cancelled Appleseed Genesis TV show. But yeah, CG stuff is all the stuff he's done. Mm.
Yeah.
This is like the furthest away from all the other CG stuff he's done.
Yes,
like been very much sci-fi, and more sci-fi up to this point.
He's hit his spot, though.
Yeah, he look at his other stuff. This is much better than his other stuff. Now, apparently he did some stuff for Helsing Ultimate, it says here as well.
Okay. So I would get Lovely Muko on Blu-ray if there was like a huge Blu-ray box set and like a Muko head disc carrier. It would be great. It would be great.
How are you, Dwayne? What animal anime would you get in a giant box set of its head?
Not this one. I don't know, offhand.
Silver Fang. That would be a good one.
I'd get Poyo Poyo in a Poyo Poyo box. Oh. He's the right shape to put discs in.
I thought you'd get Polar Bear Cafe.
Oh, that would be good as well. All of them.
Panda shape box.
Oh yeah, like his little purse.
Yeah, his little man purse. Or panda purse, whatever.
Ideas. That's a good idea.
Anyway, lovely Mooko. Much better than this week's Erased.
They're on
in
par.
In your opinion, okay.
They're on par. I'll let that one.
Righty-ho. Let's move on to Mr. Osamatsu, episode 17, Jushimatsu Festival.
Hooray!
I'm going to say, it was another sketch show. I'm going to say this episode had too much Jushimatsu. I didn't think it was possible, but...
I think in the small portions I was okay with it, but yeah, it had a lot of Jushimatsu.
I have to say, I was with Anthony's normal opinion that I was not every bit worked for me this time round.
There were some good bits.
I think the advantage of it was if the bit that wasn't really getting you, there's another bit in a minute. So.
Well, probably it was still Jushimatsu again.
But it was Jushimatsu with a different brother.
Fatigue by the end. I didn't make notes of everything. I just remember my favorite bit is the one where he's pondering what does it mean to be Jushimatsu and then eventually
that was pretty great,
reduces
yeah.
everything down to.
Oh,
symbols.
That was clever. I did like that.
Yeah, he uses his power to change the very fabric of reality again.
Mm. I wasn't so much laughing at it. I just found it quite an interesting kind of just break from the norm.
I liked it in the end where the brothers are trying to figure out when he started being weird. And then when they have flashbacks to things he's done before, it includes the stuff where like he broke into thousands and millions of like tiny germ Jushimatsus and infected them. And I was like, so wait, that's canon inverted commas for as much as anything can be. Okay.
I like the bomb disposal one as well.
Yes.
The bomb disposal one was fucking great.
I feel like I've turned into Anthony. Now you're describing it, I'm enjoying it more than I remembered it.
Yeah.
The bomb one was my favourite.
That one made me like just laugh very loud.
I laughed out loud.
Yeah, because that was the return of the ones from the murder mystery episode. That bit.
Yeah, yeah. It was nice to see those again, so it's good that they'll be doing that bit. I also was a big fan of the one where he's selling hentai.
Oh yes,
Shoramatsu. Yeah, and it's just like he's not, but the amount of freaking like where he's misunderstood between baseball terms and porn terms is amazing.
I don't think he's misunderstood. I think he knew exactly what he was doing.
you think so?
We never saw inside those comics.
Oh, I dread.
I just assumed they were baseball trivia.
I dread to think.
But yeah, if you like Jushimatsu, then this is the episode which may test your limits on how much you like him.
Like some of the bits are just, we're just doing this so the characters can make noise, like where he wants steroids. It's just like, yeah, let's just listen to him react to silliness.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm okay with that.
And have all the other characters have a go at playing him and then him have a go at playing all the other characters. We get that as well. But yeah, it's Mr. Osamatsu. It's another sketch-like one. I assume we're only getting 26 episodes, so...
I'll be content with that.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to...
Because I'm hyped for Classicaloid later in the year by the same director. Okay, let's move on to the other comedies of the week. Seko Boys, I just watched it.
Yep.
Minerva protecting peace from Mars. In which the boys get to go on what's her show's called?
Oh shit!
Setsuna's More. It's obviously some pun in Japanese, which they've had to translate to room backwards. And I can't remember the person who she's a parody of. She's a parody of a real person.
Oh, I was going to ask that. Yeah,
that is for sure.
She seems like that's like. It's nice to know, like, those daytime talk show things look exactly the same, no matter what part of the planet you're on.
And they're there to promote their new single, their first single called We Are Boys.
I fucking love that cover. That thing is amazing. With all of the little 80s, like, the vest shirts, that was great.
And we get the discussion of who's the one who's going to do the main part of the interview when in a restaurant where they're eating ice creams.
Yes, a great scene. It's a lot of the show is just like visual gags for the most part, isn't it? Which is weird because obviously the statues don't really do anything.
But the way they act and the facial expression, the fixed facial expressions.
Somehow that works. It's weird.
Particularly Sir Giorgio. His face always seems to match exactly how he's talking.
I assume they're just playing him worried all the time.
Yes. That look of concern on his face.
I'm laughing because you haven't assumed that I watched it.
Did you watch it?
No, I forgot. I know that's hard to do because it's... Oh, man.
And then they go on. They decide Mars is the one who's going to have to do the talking for them.
He's super nervous because it's like, whoa, are you going to like... And she's bringing up all his shit. All his like, it's like, hey, you got a lot of kids. You pay child support. And he's like, I will from now on.
Millennia's worth of child support. Yeah, he's sweating and sweating and sweating. They seem to think he's gone better than he has.
Yeah. They thought he's done a great job. They didn't see him like, him just drench that couch
and
sweat.
But then the final blow comes when his sister Athena rings up.
That was wonderful.
Is she a stone head as well?
No, she appears to be an entire statue.
I think she's one of the, I've forgotten that thing. I believe it's missing the arms though.
Yeah, could well.
You can see her like in silhouette, like her shadow projected, and I was like, oh, that's fucking brilliant.
Because that just opens the world up even more, the idea that these aren't the only living statues.
So he's not just a replica of the statue of Mars, he is Mars.
Yes.
Or at least a replica of the statue of Mars, which has a sister who is also a statue.
And she's also a fan of, I can't remember the team, the Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her flat's decorated with all this team.
Yeah, because the sports.
Yes, yeah.
wonderful.
It's such a strange show. But yeah, the physical gags and the fact that they are who they represent, it's just a wonderful combination. 7 minutes a week, I think it works really well.
Yeah, it could be, if it was much longer, it could be a bit of a problem, but it manages to pack everything in there pretty well. It's kind of similar to what you said in a Marshmallow. If that was drawn out, that would not work.
No. And talking of Marshmallow, what a great segue. Andy, just watch this.
Oh, God, I knew you were going to do that.
I was going to do this. The most erotic episode yet.
Is it? I guess so. So... Names.
I was going to.
Oh, go on, you do it, because I feel you do a better job. I'm not as marshmallow in love as the rest.
So, Waka Bayashi is out, having drinks after work with the other two office ladies. And,
are they given names in this, or?
I can't remember if they are given names or
not. Yeah.
I didn't make notes of them. And she's, drunker than the other two. And one of them's got a beer foam mustache, and she starts imagining that she's Hige.
Well, also she assumes everything that comes up in the conversation is to do with Hige.
Yes, and it was a ladies' night out as well, they say. And they go, yeah. Why isn't Hige here? And they go, it's a ladies' night out.
Someone gets called from her mother. Oh, it's just my mom on the phone. Hige's mother? And it's like, no, why would it be? I don't.
She has a one-track mind.
Yeah.
And there's some great body language here, particularly the drunken arm over the shoulder to her friend. It's like absolutely spot on. Drunks hugging you. And then she's, goes back to work. She sees the lights on and Hige's working late.
Doing computer work of some kind.
Web related work at the web related company. And she shows up drunk and, offers him marshmallows. The marshmallow she's been growing for 24 years. She starts taking her shirt off.
And he gave ever the gentleman and also like, oh, you're drunk. Okay. He doesn't know that she fancies him still somehow from this. He's like, oh, it's cause you're drunk.
Yes.
Right. You just sit down here and drink this water.
And she falls asleep and then wakes up saying, I dreamt I was squeezing your belly. And then her hand is squeezing his belly.
And somehow she's embarrassed by this, which is weird because every other time she's like, yeah, she doesn't seem the person to embarrass easily.
And I think there's some more murmuring about wanting babies as well.
Yeah, she definitely mentions, yeah.
I'm going to make a baby.
What a weird show.
It's really odd. It's an odd one.
Hige really should be calling human resources at this point.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't realize that she fancies him. He's just like, oh, it's because you're drunk. Oh, you just happen to be smushing your face into my fat. It's like, oh, it's just like, he doesn't know he's being sexually harassed.
I just don't, I, like, they kind of cover the show with the marshmallow stuff. There's a lot of, whatever else you could call it goes on.
Objectification of fetish.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what is going on. And then we get our last recipe for now until episode 9, where it's grilled marshmallow rare. Where they just...
10-second recipe this time, yeah.
Yes. They just blast a marshmallow with a...
Where did they show the recipe?
They have a blowtorch.
Oh, that's why.
And then they put a marshmallow in front of it in the few seconds that they have, and they go, there you go. Fucking done.
And they're laughing at the absurdity of it themselves.
Yeah.
And apparently there'll be a special guest, though. Is it next week or on episode 9? I couldn't quite figure out what they were saying.
I don't remember when they said it was happening.
I'm going to guess next episode is probably going to introduce the other character we haven't had introduced yet.
I was about to say, when you say special guest, do we turn like a celebrity marshmallow lover?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe it's a big marshmallow who can talk. But yeah, it's great, this show. Particularly the body language stuff. The bit at the bar and then her when she wakes up. Is top-notch stuff. For 3 minutes, it gets in, gets out again. But it's probably not even 3 minutes when you add the themes and the...
Yeah, I must time it properly next time. Because it is very, very short. It's like, whoa. So you're just sitting down and like, now I have to watch this. And then, oh, it's over. Okay.
No time to mess up, you see. let's wrap up with something hopefully Anthony has watched.
Oh, I did.
2 episodes of Lupin the Third.
Oh, we're not doing Dragon Ball? Or...
Oh, we could do Dragon Ball, yes.
Oh, go on then, let's see. Dragon Ball. I forgot. What I missed, tell me.
So, it's now back to looking like it was drawn by kids who learnt how to draw from those unsold draw manga books that you see in the works. And...
Oh, what a shame, I missed it. Oh.
So basically, Beerus goes off to fetch the guy who's going to be the leader of the team, who's more powerful than Goku. Goku's apparently only the second most powerful person he's fought.
Yeah, it's the guy's name, it's a woman's name, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
I've forgotten his name though.
No, I can't remember.
It's like Margaret or something.
And leaves it to the other two, leaves it to Vegeta and Goku to...
You pick the other two guys, it doesn't matter.
But he says something about the Super Dragon Balls that makes Bulma suspicious. Though Bulma does like the fact that Vegeta is very obedient around Beerus.
Yeah, she finds it hilarious. And also she likes embarrassing him by kissing him in front of his friends.
So Bulma rings up her sister, Tights, who is the youngest looking 60-year-old woman I've ever seen.
She's 60?
Yes.
Huh. Okay, I didn't know that.
Well, Bulma's 40, I believe, and I think Tights is 20 years older than her.
Oh, okay.
I think there's 12. I think she's definitely 60. I might be getting Bulma's age wrong. Bulma might be older than 40 at this point.
Bulma's older than 40.
That would explain the Briefs family, like, thing of they're just immortals or something.
But there may be time travel involved with Tights that we haven't had revealed yet.
Yeah, that's true.
So she goes, do you know where Jacko is? Because Tights is friends with Jacko. I want to borrow his new spaceship he got. So they ruin Jacko's holiday.
He was just like, what? That was like the worst holiday. Was it the most peaceful thing he could think of? I'm just going to pile rocks till they look like that mountain over there.
Because Bulma's figured out, okay, so if there's Super Dragon Balls in Universe 6, there'll also be Super Dragon Balls in Universe 7. So we'll get some Super Dragon Balls as well, just in case what Beerus plans to do. Because he mentions,
if I had any wish, I'd destroy everything.
Yes.
And she's just like, well, fuck, like, if we lose, we get to go to a different universe, and you guys have not thought of the repercussions of that. And if we win, this crazy bastard gets the power to destroy everything. They really haven't thought this shit through. Of course they haven't.
Of course they haven't. It's Goku and Vegeta. They're just like, oh, let's have a fight. Oh, and Champa designs the area they're going to fight on.
How does it look?
It looks exactly like the world.
Well, Goku suggests specifically a Budokai, so yes. He's just like, yeah, let's fucking do that then. And it's like, okay, let's do that, but with big posters of Beerus and Champa and weird-looking food stands.
Yes, that was the second thing he put in after the platform.
Yeah.
the fighting platform.
Gotta have food stamps.
Gotta have food stamps. yeah, so she's gonna travel to the center of the universe with Jacko, switch on the Super Dragon Ball detector, and then go and find this universe's Super Dragon Balls.
Like, I'm kind of interested in Bulma's story more so than everyone else's in this thing. Because she's like, I'm actively trying to save the universe. The other guy's like, yeah, let's have a fight. It'll be great.
So I think that is the best thing about this current Dragon Ball setup, is Bulma is definitely back to being one of the lead characters. That's she even slaps Beerus in this episode.
Good. also, you skipped over a bit where they said, hey, let's get our regular Dragon Balls and ask Shenron, where's the Super Dragon Ball?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, why can't they do that?
Well, they do, and Shenron goes like, I don't know.
Okay.
And so Beerus is like, you're fucking useless. Ashamed. And he's like, so what's your wish? It's like, I wish for you to fuck off.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh. Shenron's like, Bulma has like stepped up and become a major character again. Shenron is of zero importance.
Yeah, because they send Vegeta to find them. He's like found them in seconds.
he's really quite a lapdog for Beerus. Like, he's just like, yes, sir. Gotcha, sir. Whatever you need, sir.
Yeah, shame it looks like arse.
Yeah, there's some nice bits in there, but yeah.
There's some grim looking shots. And obviously they put it on an abandoned planet, so again they don't have to worry about drawing too many backgrounds.
Oh, right. Classic. Classic.
But hopefully we get some Bulma and Jacko goofing around going on. And maybe they'll take some of the other guys who don't go to the tournament.
Yeah, but the only other thing that appealed to me is everyone appears to be fighting for the second two spots on the team, and Piccolo's using his stretchy arms again, which I love. But other than it doesn't seem that... Yeah, I know, right? If you have stretchy arms, freaking use them all the time. But, besides the Bulma, but there's not really too much interest.
And when they're agreeing the rules of the tournament as well, I quite like that, because one of the rules is there's got to be a written test before entering to make sure that the competitor understands the rules of the fight.
I guess that makes sense, because you might have some guy who's, like Vegeta said, like, it's just like, there's two, you can get, like, just some old fucking beast monster thing, it's like, who will just straight up willy-nilly kill things.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't really have that.
Because it's not a fight to the death.
There's ring outs still.
Yes.
After all this time, there's still ring outs.
Yeah, I quite like, I did like that, the fact that Champa is not like this, he's not like an evil guy, he's just like Beerus.
An asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole. And he's perfectly happy to...
Well, I love how quickly, and by quickly I mean more so in the movie than in the show, that Beerus is initially like, oh, I'm a great evil god of destruction. And like any evil bad guy that comes into Dragon Ball, it's like, and now we're mates.
Yeah.
And we just hang out.
And he's kind of, he's not evil. Like, he's not even evil when he first appears. He's just like, I am the god of destruction. That's my nature. I can't avoid what I am.
I mean, like, he has more of an excuse than Vegeta has to be an asshole.
Yes. And, because Champa's going to get a Saiyan, isn't he? He says.
He's going to get which?
He says he's going to, because they've got two Saiyans on.
Oh, yeah, he says we must get a Saiyan from this universe. And I assume that's the guy who looked totally like a Saiyan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we're going to see, like, how it's different by sort of, the fact that they're not, his Saiyan's not militaristic.
Okay.
Because they were never conquered by,
Frieza and the guy.
Frieza, yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah, Frieza was working for Beerus in the end, kind of.
Yeah.
But do they not have, like, an alternative Frieza?
They do seem to, yeah.
Ah.
But we'll see what he's like. Maybe he's, not a bad
nice guy. Yeah.
Maybe Universe 6 is actually lovely. And we do want to move there.
Yeah, could well be, yeah. That could be the twist, is that it's much nicer.
There's far less threats to existence, it's great.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some sort of twists. I wonder if there'll be even though Earth's been destroyed, maybe one of the people will be like their equivalent of Jackie Chun. It'll actually be somebody else in disguise.
I was wondering if, like, Bulma finally fulfilled her powers in that universe, destroyed Earth, and just became an evil overlord.
Quite possibly. Oh, yeah. No, actually, that wouldn't happen, because if their Saiyans aren't militaristic, then they wouldn't, Goku would never have arrived. Because in Jakko, his mission was to go to Earth and kill Goku.
Yeah.
As a kid. And if that failed, but also if Earth was developing time machines, he was going to blow it up with his device for annihilating planets that he's got.
I will read that. I've got it ready to read.
Yeah, you can get it on digital now through the show.
Yeah, I've got, yeah.
Jump app. Okay, now let's do Lupin. Episode 7, The Zapping Operation. In which we meet Nix's family.
Mm-hmm. And we find out that for some reason they can't know he's an MI6.
Yes.
Well, that's
Is that
classic.
How MI6 works?
Classic. Yeah, you can't just, you know. Tell your family. Because it's a risk. The more people know, the bigger a risk. Then right. His family could be kidnapped, and whereas if they don't know what he does, then...
I mean, like, I understand that blackmail. In terms of, like, being a super spy and everything like that, but in reality, like, MI6 is a thing.
Yeah. But also, as we learn in this episode, there's apparently the MI6 themselves are afraid of Nix. And they're ready to kill him at any moment.
They have a special B team, and I thought B team was just like, okay, B team will do the job. No. B team's specific job is to kill Nix if he goes
veiny.
If he goes like friggin' off their script, I guess.
Yeah.
We finally see his chief move from that position where he's just holding his chin, which I was like, oh, thank God. I thought he was like a hologram that only had that one position to talk in.
Statue, a second.
Pretty much, yeah.
So yeah, Lupin is stealing. He's robbed a jewelry store with Jigen, and he's looking for a getaway vehicle.
Because he's about to get a ticket.
Yes. and the vehicle he picks up earlier has had Nix's daughter put in, who's been kidnapped by these, I assume...
Random.
They appear to be... human traffickers, yeah.
Yeah, they're running some kind of friggin' operation like that. And how dumb is his daughter, though?
Yeah, and she's got...
It's like, where are we going?
Yeah. The Dream of Italy, that's the third.
Dream
that's
of
the
Italy, that's
the... At the end.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got Rebecca's disguise purse. She's trying to get the autograph off Rebecca, and Rebecca left a purse behind, so she tried to chase after her with the purse. And so it all leads to this very complicated chase between all these different,
Yeah, and Nix assuming that Lupin is up to human trafficking, and them assuming that Nix is like up to human trafficking, and they're all like, "What?"
Because Nix has got like a mask on.
Yes,
because
an awful balaclava.
Yes, because he's decided, okay, my daughter's been kidnapped. Now it's time to go bonkers. Let's put a balaclava on and just murder anyone who gets in my way.
That's like the cool Taken moment, though, when he's because he meets with the traffickers because he's obviously trying to get more info about the Dream of Italy.
Yes,
and he sees his daughter. They were very quick to get a picture of his daughter on the advertising.
Well,
they've only just caught her at this point, yet they've got a picture of her.
Yeah, she's in the back of a van, but yeah, you can just text that photo on real quick. Yeah.
Well, I guess so. Technology.
I did like the human traffickers coming back to the car and it's like, son of a bitch, stole our car. And it's like, guy, you steal people for a living. That's like I don't know.
I did like Rebecca chastising them at the end. It was like, you guys can only think in terms of guns.
I do like Rebecca a lot, actually. I think she's a really good character.
Yeah, it's pretty much more of her. Oh, we find out her butler's name.
Oh, yes. What was it?
It's either Robert or Roberto. I can't remember.
I think it was Roberto. I seem
to remember.
Yeah, it is Roberto.
Be more Italian, yeah. So. Yeah, because he's like, hey, Roberto, take care of this. And he just pulls out a machine gun and just unloads where Nix is standing. And I'm just like, yes, that's a way to learn a guy's name.
But imagine Jigen had killed Nix. Imagine he just shot him. And then they took off the hood and it was her father. It'd be awful. It was a good episode. Really good episode. I love the whole Jigen and Lupin running down the street with like the big bags of... jewels on the back.
Comically large bags.
Yeah, I love anything like that. That's always a great thing.
Where do they get circular bags these days? Come on.
That's true. Stitch them up themselves.
they don't even get the jewels.
They have to leave them behind and Zenigata recovers them.
I guess that makes Zenigata look really good, because like, oh, he recovered all the stolen jewels. Mm. He's very good at his job, even though he can't catch the guy.
But it causes like a bigger suspicion, because he's like, oh, why did he leave the jewels? Why would he leave them? So
there must be a bigger score. Yeah, so he's going to get onto the dream of Italy as well.
Yeah, and then we get this mysterious sequence at the end about the dream of Italy and these two characters we've never seen before.
Also, they're watching everyone.
Yeah.
Including Lupin on CCTV. They have cameras everywhere.
Wait, what do you think they are? Any theories or?
No idea, but I do know there's two episodes coming up called The Dream of Italy Part 1 and The Dream of Italy Part 2.
Uh-huh. That'll probably be it then.
Yes.
Oh, it's coming to a close quite quickly. Well, average,
no, I think that bit's halfway through the series, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, that just feels like we're getting through it quick.
Yeah, but I'm
watching it in twos, because I would just watch all of this, like.
Yeah.
I would marathon it, and I wouldn't enjoy it as much if I did it that way, so I'm glad we're watching it in parts.
Digest it more, can't we do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the second episode was Welcome to the Haunted Hotel, where Lupin's heard, has he stolen a letter from Mama?
This the first time we've seen Mama?
I think so, yes.
Because he references it as if we should have seen it, or
unless
at least we should
in,
have
like
knowledge.
A special that I'm not aware of.
That's what I was thinking as well. I was going to ask you, did you know her from
No, Mother? I didn't know her for anything, but,
It's not just like in the prior episodes where these guys are well designed and look like their characters in their own right.
I hope she comes back, because she's pretty
great. Yeah, she seems pretty great. Her and her inept kids.
so apparently there's a treasure hidden at this hotel, which is reported to be haunted.
That Lupin found out because he was trying to get with some girl who was into
an occultist, yes.
Yeah, and it's like, so I got this guidebook on haunted hotels.
Jigen just wants to get drunk in a hotel room. I'd like the fact
that's because he can't smoke.
That is true, but in so many of these things, you see them drinking in the hotel rooms. I like the fact in this episode it actually plays part of the plot.
Yes, that's wonderful. That getting pissed is integral to solving the mystery.
And particularly the bit where he wants to piss in the corner. Lupin's going, no, this isn't the toilet.
But I fucking love that leap of logic. There's a reason why only drunk people ever found the secret fucking secret passages in the castle. Is because you have to piss in a fucking...
Yes.
The thing that looks like a urinal to anyone who's drunk is like, oh, I'll piss there, that's grand. But any normal person would be just like, oh, that's just a brass plate on the ground.
And Lupin doesn't believe in ghosts.
Jigen does believe in ghosts.
Yeah,
which is why he's decided to get drunk as well.
Yeah, two ghosts of the hotel owners. The owner and his daughter. The owner's got a great, ridiculous voice.
He's pretty great. The creepy butler with kind of stubble, and he keeps creeping up behind people. Also, he's got one of those great laughs.
Yes. He should be a One Piece villain.
Yeah, that's true.
But it turns out there's a real ghost there as well. The little sister of the,
Adele.
Yeah.
How quickly had you pegged that?
Oh, instantaneously.
Instantly.
Because initially it was like, oh, it's actually not the ghost. And then I was like, wait a minute. Surely he'd be like, hey, where's my second daughter? And at no point does that happen. It's like, okay.
Yeah. No, the plot's very predictable, but it's
in a good way. Well. Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, it's fun. I'm not saying it's bad.
Oh, no, nor am I. There's some excellent D&D type treasure trap things going on. Mum shows up. She said her two, I don't know, they're actually her sons. Probably not, because one's got like an Italian name, one's got an English name.
Well, she's maybe been around the houses.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who are they're like two stupid Guy Ritchie characters. Like they'd be like comedy relief in a Guy Ritchie movie.
Who does the voice for Mama?
I
thought you may have looked.
But it's great when she turns up and then just whips out this ridiculously big gun.
Yeah, it's a minigun, isn't it?
It is, yes.
She mostly has it slung over her shoulder, but yeah, fucking hell.
They find that Lupin finds the treasure and finally lets this ghost pass on into the other world.
Which is really sad. Really sad. Like, obviously, it's a good deed that he's done, but it's a sad little story.
And the treasure's kind of been damaged by the weather.
like one of the things they were mentioning was like, it's a painting of by Michelangelo and that kind of thing. It's just, it's torn to shreds and you're kind of like, oh, so he's not even going to make any profit on this whole thing.
Well, I assume he left it for the kind of honor's sake.
No, he would totally steal it. What are you talking about? Lupin helps people, but also steals shit.
Nah, I think this time he's got a sweet moment, you know.
He'd still take it.
But why doesn't he take the gun? There's loads of good stuff there.
He buries her. Because they find her body in there as well.
Yeah,
but what do you do with the rest?
I mean, like, if there's any gems in there, he probably took those.
Yes.
Oh, you reckon? Oh,
he's Lupin.
He is, but he's also, he's alright. He's alright.
I don't know. If he's not if he helps someone out, he generally has to make a profit as well.
Hmm.
The exception to that was the last episode in which they tried to go back for the stuff they'd robbed, but they couldn't get it. So it's just like, oh, that one's a bust.
You didn't try hard enough. I think you could have got past all of them in a fancy costume or something.
I think
it's probably my favorite episode so far, actually.
It's kind of got a very bit of a Cagliostro thing going on, you know, the castle and the traps all that jazz.
He asks Jigen at the end if he wants to go to another one.
I found another haunted one that sounds like it has treasure.
I tell you where you've heard that voice recently of Mama.
Where?
As it is the Matsunu's mother.
Oh.
Mr. Osamatsu, it's played by Kujira.
that's not where I've picked it up, is it? Well, it's a good voice, so maybe it's just one of those voices, but surely she's done something else.
Oh, she's done loads of things, but the thing you know her most from, I don't think she was using that voice.
Oh.
In that she's the voice of Orochimaru.
Oh! I'm going to pretend that I did. But is that kind of like a, not quite as snake-like as Orochimaru, though?
No,
that's interesting.
Must say, yeah, you've heard her most recently as the mum from Mr. Osamatsu.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
But she's in loads of things, so.
Good.
I'm sure you've heard a similar voice somewhere.
Mm. Yeah, it's been a damn good series so far.
Yeah, this is great.
These have really picked up. These two episodes have really kind of, I was never falling off with it as such, but it just reinforced the enjoyment. It was a good one.
They're a bit more capery, yeah.
Yeah. I still like the woman named Fujiko Mine, though.
Well, no one's saying you can't like it, I think.
Oh, they can't. The instant I started watching this, I said, when you finish, you've got to pick one or the other and decide. This could get a purchase. When this comes out on Blu-ray, I might have to pick it up. Because it's a good-looking show.
Mm.
Good. Anything else?
Go him on next week.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Finally, and a load of other assassins.
Yeah. I guess he is kind of the least used one. Until episode 9 that he actually gets
an episode. I'm fine with that, because
I know you're not a fan,
he's just used for being there, just to make the numbers up. It's like, and I think because you got a new voice for him now, maybe that's another thing, you don't have to feel quite so obliged to use him all the time.
Mm. Right, okay.
Whereas obviously, you feel obliged to use Lupin and Jigen all the time. I think that's also a benefit. I think it's also a benefit to the show for being focused so much on Lupin and Jigen.
Oh, it's a great duo to have.
Mm. Even though Jigen seems to never want to be there.
He's loving it, really. He's having fun.
He just wants to rob shit, dude. I remember in the jewelry store bit where it's like, Lupin, look at these beautiful gems. And Jigen's like, just put them in the fucking bag. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. There's some great faces on him in the ghost episode as well.
Oh, yeah. When he wears the suit of armor.
Yes.
That's great. When he's told he's not allowed to smoke and he's like, well, that's why you've got no guests. I always found him, and I've never found him boring as such, but in this series, I don't know, maybe I've just not seen enough Lupin.
I think they've cranked
up
the snark on him. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, I think the fact they're happy to not have Goemon in every episode, not have Fujiko in every episode.
No, it makes them more welcome when they come. They're the kind of characters that if you had them in everything, they wouldn't work as well.
Like, I love Fujiko. Whenever she shows up, it's always great. So, I look forward to her return.
Right, we'll be back next week with a Niall. Unless his shifts get changed again. But be back here next week to hang with the Let's Go gang. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com. Secret of the Sale of Madness.blogspot.com and DynamiteInTheBrain.com. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.